Welcome back to Whence Came You, your weekly Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. All right, well, I had to reschedule one of the interviews for the show, so this weekend I'll be recording both of the interviews I had lined up. And I'll have those in some upcoming episodes. I'm also waiting to hear back on a few other leads as well, so let's dive right into this week's piece. All of you know, we were working out some audio problems with Brother James C. Fry's piece, and I'm excited to announce that it is worked out. And without further ado, Brother James E. Fry reading the second part of his excellent piece.
Whence Came You, Masonic Podcast, and the Midnight Freemasons present In Search of the Lost Word by James E. Fry. Part 2. The Builders. The ineffable name, meaning the self-existent being who is infinite without beginning or end. The ineffable word, having been hidden by the patriarch Enoch, faded from memory until it was revealed to Moses in the burning bush. Following the Exodus, Moses had the name engraved upon a plate of gold, and it was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, which was constructed to hold the remains of the Ten Commandments, and there it remained until the time of Joshua and the judges that ruled after him. Moses was forbidden to utter the true pronunciation to the people, so he communicated it only to Aaron and Joshua, and it was afterwards made known only to the chief priests alone, who revered it in sacred ritual. The ineffable word remained in the ark until the time of Othniel, the younger brother of Caleb, Judges 3:8-10. In a battle against the king of Syria, the Syrians ambushed a group of Levites, the keepers of the ark, and the ark fell upon the ground, the keepers of it slain by the Syrians. The Syrians never had time to plunder the ark due to a lion who guarded it. The lion was holding the golden key to the ark in his mouth, and it was only upon the approach of the high priest that the lion would draw to the forest, laying the key down at his feet. This is celebrated in the Scottish Rite Southern jurisdiction. Upon the golden key worn by the treasurer, you see the initials of these words, In ore leonis verbum iveni, which means, In the lion's mouth I found the word. In the time of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4, the word was lost again due to the Philistines capturing the ark. The Philistines killed Ophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, then took the golden plate from the ark with the word inscribed upon it, and melted it down into the image of their fertility and fishing god, Dagon, causing the ineffable name to be lost again. Time passed as the word was lost again until the time of Solomon. Upon laying the stone for the great temple at the base of Mount Moriah, the builders Adoniram, Joburr, and Stolkin struck a compartment buried deep in the earth. They had discovered a secret vault. They reported it to King Solomon, and him fearing of it being an ancient pagan temple, ordered the builders to excavate it. Upon the excavation, the builders discovered a vault, which led down through 8 other vaults, leading deeper into the darkness. They then found a long and narrow passageway, which led to the 9th vault under the 9th arch. This was under the space which would become the Sanctum Sanctorum of the temple. they had discovered the Cuba Foundation and the mysterious name and delivered it to King Solomon. The two kings, after much deliberation, determined what to do with this discovery. They decided to deposit the word in the secret vault to be constructed under the Sanctum Sanctorum. And the stone of foundation was deposited as the cornerstone of the temple. This was so that the Temple of Solomon may be the physical manifestation of God on earth. At the first cornerstone laying ceremony, it is said that the workmen came forth and gave their wages of corn, wine, and oil, and that they all knelt and returned thanks to God. Then the true pronunciation of the sacred name was permitted to only three masters, Adoniram, Zober, and Stolken, within the confines of the secret vault. In cryptic masonry, King Solomon had constructed a narrow passageway that led from his palace to the ninth vault. It was in that apartment King Solomon held his private conferences with King Hiram of Tyre and Hiram of Biff, where the long-lost ineffable word was revealed to them. After the death of Hiram of Biff, the two kings abandoned the secret vault, never again to return until they had found a suitable replacement for the fallen master. Both cryptic masonry and ineffable masonry have similar lore, which differs slightly after Solomon's abandonment of the secret vault. He assigned guards stationed at the approaches of the secret vault, the oldest being stationed at the entrance to the vault, the others respectively at the entrances of the other eight arches. But in the cryptic rite, there is but one guard at the front of the entrance, named Zabud, a dear friend to King Solomon. Hiram Abiff constructed the private entrance to the secret vault with the aid of Phoenician architects who were initiates of the mysteries, sworn to secrecy as to its existence. No one knew of it except the two kings and those three masters. To none others was the ineffable name communicated. It was lost to all those of an inferior degree. Those who were not worthy to know the word were given only a substitute adopted at the death of Hiram Abiff as the master mason's word. The ineffable name remained in the secret vault, hidden from prying eyes, and faded into memory until Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded with his armies, and he burned the temple to the ground and plundered Israel, taking all the Jews into captivity back to Babylon. But the secret vault remained unspoiled and unnoticed by foreign invaders. So the world was lost again.
Alright, I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. And next, I want to mention the Midnight Freemasons, publishing new articles every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so stop by and check those out. Also, if you have something you'd like to contribute to the site, like a paper or a short story, as long as it's Masonic in nature, we can put it up. So again, if you do have something you'd like to share, send it to wcypodcast@gmail.com and include a word about yourself, and if you have a picture, put that in too. I'd also like to mention our affiliate Onnit, who makes some fitness and supplements that are all natural, no caffeine, non-GMO, etc. Just good stuff for your brain and your body, or your temple if you will. Check out the link via our website and click through, and a portion of the sale gets sent back to us to support the show. And also, you can use the promo code or the coupon code WCY for 10% off. It's a win-win. Let's go ahead and get to this week's famous Freemason. This month regardless of your feelings toward any organized religions, ethical backgrounds, or anything else, a brother contacted me who said something about this famous Freemason, and it prompted me to go ahead and put this together. This week's famous Freemason is Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church. In the 1840s, Smith and several prominent Mormons had become Freemasons and founded a lodge in Nauvoo, Illinois, in March of 1842. Soon after joining Freemasonry, Smith introduced a new temple endowment ceremony, including a number of symbolic elements that were essentially identical with the analogies within Freemasonry. Smith remained a Freemason until his death. However, later Mormon leaders distanced themselves from Freemasonry. In modern times, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS Church, the predominant Mormon organization, holds no position for or against the compatibility of Masonry with the LDS Church doctrine. Back to 1842, Smith became a Master Mason, as indicated by the history of the church, and quote, "Tuesday, March 15th, I officiated as Grand Chaplain at the installation of Nauvoo Lodge of Freemasons at the Grove near the temple, Grandmaster Jonas of Columbus being present. A large number of people assembled on the occasion. The day was exceedingly fine. All things were done in order, and universal satisfaction was manifested. In the evening, I received the first degree in Freemasonry in the Nauvoo Lodge assembled in my general business office. History of the Church, Joseph Smith. History of the Church by Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith was raised to the third degree of Master Mason on site by Grand Master Jonas of Grand Lodge of Illinois. This was fully within Jonas's right of office, but was fairly a rare procedure. On Wednesday, March 16th, Smith wrote, I was with the Masonic Lodge and rose to the sublime degree. In the Mormon Church and Freemasonry, 2001, Terry Chateau writes, the Joseph Smith family was a Masonic family which lived by and practiced the estimable and admirable tenets of Freemasonry. The father, Joseph Smith Sr., was a documented member in upstate New York. He was raised to the degree of Master Mason on May 7, 1818 in Ontario Lodge No. 23, Canandaigua, New York. An older son, Hiram Smith, was a member of Mount Moriah Lodge No. 112 in Palmyra, New York. Mormon temple worship shares an extensive commonality of symbols, signs, vocabulary, and clothing with Freemasonry, including robes, aprons, handshakes, ritualistic raising of the arms, etc. The interpretation of many of these symbols has been adopted to the Mormon narratives from their original meanings in Freemasonry. For example, whereas Masons exchange secret handshakes to identify fellow Masons, Mormonism teach that these handshakes must be given to sentinel angels in order for Mormons to be admitted into the highest kingdom of heaven. Mormon temple garments also bear the Masonic symbols of the square and compass, although Mormons have imbued these symbols with religious meaning that exceeds the meaning of the symbols as intended by Freemasonry. In the Temple and Salvation of the Dead part of the Discourses of Brigham Young, Brigham Young gives a quote about the temple which directly relates to the story of Hiram Abiff from the Masonic folklore. Although Young changed some of the key Masonic aspects about Hiram to better fit Mormonism's view of the temple, the story is the same. That's it for this week. If you like what you hear, share the show with your friends and brothers. Find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. We're also on just about every other social networking site there is, including Google+, at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Basically, I don't want anyone to have to sign up for anything new, which is why we're on everything. If you're into apps, we do have an Android app and an Apple app, which let you listen streaming. You'll get access to each of the episodes, plus bonus features, which usually include a Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device and the papers that we read via PDF. The proceeds from app sales go right back into the show. If you like the idea of streaming audio, but perhaps free is more your style, then check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio. Links to that are on our site as well. Just remember that when you register on Stitcher, use the promo code WhenceCameYou with no spaces, and Stitcher will send us a dollar, so you're supporting the show. If apps aren't your thing, we do also have a donate to the show button, which is run through PayPal and is totally secure. Again, all proceeds go directly back into the show, which pays for audio hosting and recording equipment if I ever need to replace anything. God forbid, I do have the current setup dialed in, but you never know. Again, I want to mention our affiliate, Onnit Labs, so check out the link on the website. if you're into healthy living, for some great stuff. Also, you can use the coupon code WCY at checkout for 10% off your order, save some money, and the show gets a couple bucks. A win-win. On the Midnight Freemasons, we will be continuing the epic of ancient detective work by Brother James E. Fry each Friday, and also a myriad of other articles each Monday and Wednesday by your brothers and sisters over there at the Midnight Freemasons. Again, if you have a piece you want us to feature, email me and we'll get it up. You want to do an interview on the show? Again, shoot me an email. I'd like to sign off here with some thanks. It's a rather long list, but I have to do it. So thanks to Brother Jeff Koch for your continued friendship and support, Brother Todd Paterak for your emails and great finds, Brother Todd E. Creason for having faith in my ability to make the Midnight Freemason site a continued interest for the years ahead, Brother Steve Harrison for all your amazing articles, Brother James E. Fry, who constantly brings the esoteric back to the table and somehow quenches my thirst for it, and then makes me more thirsty at the same time, Brother Mike Shirley, Brother Greg Knott, Brother Scott Nycom, Sister Judy Gordon, Brother Joseph James, Brother Charles Harper, Brother John Paul Gomez for his amazing art and ties, Brother Juan Sepulveda for his inspiration and artwork, Brother Robert Patrick for his inspiration and his podcast Far From Centered, which you should all check out, by the way, farfromcentered.com. Brother Mike Stedman, Jeff Hammett, Brother Sean Benjamin for your music, Brother Nick Hayworth, Johnny Ogiano, and all the brothers at my lodge, chapter, council, commandery, consistory. You guys are my second family, and I just have to say thanks. I know it was a long list. I'm not kidding when I say I know I had to have forgotten somebody. It's a mathematical probability. If I did forget you, I apologize. I'll get you next time. And until next week, stay on the level for Winskeeming. I'm Robert Johnson.